Job chapter 22, and beginning at verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defence, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Then shalt thou make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. Ending our reading there. Let's bow together in prayer, and let each one of us pray that the Lord would bless the public reading of his word to us, and also pray that God would speak to each one of us personally and powerfully today in his word. Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for giving it to us in our mother tongue, and for giving the Holy Spirit to us to guide us into its truth and its meaning. We pray that thou wilt come now and bless the preaching of thy holy word. Grant the power of the Holy Spirit for this, and as it goes forth from the heart and the mind and the will of each one of us here, may there be the response to it that will be well pleasing to thyself. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to draw your attention particularly to one verse in this reading. It's verse 21, Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. This is an entreaty. It's an earnest entreaty, given in the first instance to Job, but by way of extension and application to every one of us here. The most important knowledge that a person can acquire is the knowledge of the person of God as he has been pleased to reveal himself to us. For instance, he has revealed himself in creation. We look all around creation and we can see the evidences of the Godhead there. We are told in Psalm 19 and in the very first verse that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord and the firmament his handiwork. And in Romans chapter 1 and in the 20th verse we read these words, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no reason at all, and no atheist at all has any excuse in his defiance of God when he says that he doesn't believe in the existence of God. If he's willing to face the facts, there is evidence enough, even in creation. And then again, we learn not only has God revealed himself in creation, but he has revealed himself particularly in Holy Scripture. This is the revelation that God has given of himself in here, and particularly in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learn on one occasion, whenever the Lord was answering questions of his disciple, and one in particular from Philip, he said that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So if you want to know who God is, God the Father, we have only got to look at how God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ in Scripture. And in that very same Gospel of John, in a later chapter, chapter 17, and in the third verse, the Lord, when he was praying to his Father, says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So what we can see from these words is that God can be known. Listen to what he says to us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, and verses 23 and verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." So God can be known. There is another place in the book of Jeremiah, and it's important to grasp this, when he says again about us knowing him. He says in chapter 31 and verse 33 and verse 34, "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest." So we can know God. God is knowable. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he was writing to Timothy. He said, "I know whom I have believed." I know God. He writes to the Colossians, and he says that they would be fruitful and multiply in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they had knowledge of him. Paul says, "I want you to have a greater knowledge." And after 30 years being in the Christian life and warfare, Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection." So with these great truths in mind, that God can be known, he wants us to know him, and the knowledge of him is the greatest knowledge that we can possess, I urge you to get to know him today. And I want us to help to that end by looking at these words in verse 21 of Job chapter 22, where we have this earnest entreaty. I want you to notice, first of all, about it, the matter that this entreaty presents. "Acquaint now thyself with him." This is what the Word of God is saying to us as it came to Job. "Acquaint now thyself with him." In order to fully understand this, I want you to notice, first of all, there are persons involved here with regard to this entreaty. First of all, there's Job. He's the one who's being urged to acquaint himself with the Lord. Now, if you read the first two chapters of the book of Job, you'll see something of the terrible tragedy that this man suffered. It's heart-rending. None of us has ever been called to go through the like. And that was that he lost all his livestock. But that's nothing. Grave though it was, it's nothing in comparison to what was to follow. He lost his servants. And he lost his children in death. And then he lost the understanding of his wife. The poor woman couldn't take all that the family was taking. But what a testimony it drew from Almighty God in Job chapter 1 verse 8. Whenever Satan was coming to face God about Job, and God allowed this to happen because the devil was arguing with God about the integrity of Job. And Job was showing to the devil that no matter what he would do on Job would stand fast. And in chapter 1, verse 8, we read these words. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? What a testimony for God to give of any man. Perfect man and an upright man. Well, the devil got to work, and I've told you the major part of it. But in the next chapter, the devil challenged God again, and God allowed the devil to go further on Job, and this time he afflicted his body with large boils. Oh, the pain that one boil can bring, but with many. And then again, God had this to say in these words in chapter 2 of the book of Job and verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. That was God's testimony to Job. But Job had three friends. And this is the second group of people. And if you would turn back to chapter 2, I think it's important to notice this. You've heard the saying where people say, with friends like that, who needs enemies? That is, if somebody's your friend and they inadvertently do you a bad turn, with friends like that, who needs enemies? This could be said of Job. But let's accept it, first of all, that they were his friends. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now that was very good of them. When they heard of his suffering, they dropped what they were doing. They got together some way. And they said, we'd need to go over and see Job. They gave up everything for quite a while to go over to see this man. They made an appointment to go to comfort him. Notice what we read in verse 12. And when they had lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they broke down in tears at the sorrow that he was going through. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now you try to get the picture there. The heartbreak that Job has suffered, the mess that his body is in, the losses that he has incurred. And these men, well-intentioned, are coming over to sympathize with him at great cost to themselves. We should keep that in mind. But whenever they began to give their opinions, they became very harsh with Job. They as much as said that what he was going through was because he had done wrong. And if we go back to chapter 22 of the book of Job, we see that one of these men, Eliphaz, well-intentioned, but very critical. Notice verse 5. Is not thy wickedness great? And thine iniquities infinite, for thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. Verse 9, thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. That was very harsh stuff. They were critical of the man of whom God said to the devil, there's not a man like him on the earth. He's upright and perfect, and he's a man of integrity. So, in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say to myself and to all of you, whenever you judge, judge according to righteous appearance. That's what the Lord says in John 7 and verse 24. So whatever Eliphaz considered Job to have done wrong, it was no issue with God. And we need to be very careful of the opinions that we form of others. And if ever we have to give an opinion audibly, let's make sure it's based on fact. And do not give it at all unless it's essential that we do. So we have not only Job as one of the persons involved. We have not only Eliphaz here and his two friends, but there's the Lord himself. And this is very important. Notice how it's described here in chapter 22 of the book of Job. Verse 3, is it any pleasure to the Almighty? It's not a tremendous title of God. There are many mighty people in the world, but there's only one Almighty. And I want us to keep that in mind, that it's the Almighty who is the creator of the ends of the earth, the lover of the souls of men and women, and the one of tremendous power, the one who's eternal, had no beginning, no ending. Notice again, in the 17th verse, we come across that title, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Notice again in verse 23, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And again you have it in verse 25, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Who is this Almighty? Again, this section tells us that it's God. Notice verse 2, can a man be profitable unto God? Look at verse 12. Is not God in the height of the heaven? Notice again verse 13. And thou sayest, how does God know? Verse 17, we have it again. Which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? And notice the way down there in verse 26. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. So, involved in this entreaty, you have poor old Job. You have his friends who are really not very sympathetic at times. And you have God himself. These are the persons involved. But notice the precept of it. He says here in these words, acquaint now thyself. What counsel that is. Acquaint now thyself with him, this Almighty, this God. What a charge given to Job and to us. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, we need to get to know God. And those of us who know him, we need to know him better. It's a duty incumbent upon every one of us to make the acquaintance of him. Now try to imagine for a moment some noted celebrity. All the magazines love the people of celeb status. Celebrities seem to be the big name of the time. No matter in what field they're celebrated, there are people who always love to know about celebrities. And they would give anything to make their acquaintance. Just think of how special it would be if you're into that, looking to keep company with celebrities. Think of how special it would be to get near to one and make the acquaintance of one. But my dear friend, think of how more special it would be if that celebrity took notice of you and initiated an opportunity for you to be acquainted with him or her. But by far, think how special it is that the Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not only wants you to be acquainted with him, and has gone to great lengths and the utmost bounds that you might be acquainted with him, but is making himself available to you. He who is the Almighty God, the Eternal One, all-powerful, gracious and merciful, who knows us and thinks about us. God said in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God wants you to reciprocate. He wants you to be acquainted with Him. He wants you to know Him. And to show His sincerity, we are told that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father, Son, to be the Savior of the world. That's what the gospel of Christ is all about. That into this world, at the appointed time, came the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, sent by His Father, to go to the cross at Calvary, to lay down His life for ransom for many, to shed His atoning blood, to agonize, to suffer something that we never fully fathom the depths of, in order to save lost men and women and girls and boys from a Christless hell forever. That's the love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. This God loves you, He knows you, and He wants you to be acquainted with Him. He has made Himself available to us through His Word. Read it through the Lord Jesus. Get to know Him. Leave what you're doing. Leave your sin. Go to the cross. Go to the fountain filled with blood. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Exercise faith in Him and be wonderfully saved by His grace. But there are not only the persons with regard to the matter of this entreaty. There's not only this precept, but there's the purpose of it. Notice verse 22 again, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. That's the purpose of it. That's why he wants us to get to know him. Because estranged from Him, away from Him, we have no knowledge. And that's how matters stand at the moment. There is not peace with the unconverted. God is angry with the wicked every day, the psalm tells us. And as things stand now, we're estranged. Whenever Paul was writing to the Colossians, he said to those people that previously, formerly, you were alienated by wicked works and enemies in your minds. But Christ has made peace through the blood of His cross, and now He hath reconciled you. We learn in Romans 5 verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's the point, my dear friend, that's so important. We need to understand this. We may be religious. We may be upstanding. But if we're not saved, we are enemies of God. And one of the marks of the unconverted is they know not the Lord. Find that in the Bible at different times that people know not the Lord. And we learn in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 where the apostle pleads as an ambassador, I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Just put by the apostle in another way. So that's the matter. And I would urge you now, my dear hearer, to recognize your need of Christ. To recognize your ignorance of the Lord. And make this acquaintance while you have time. Because whenever you trust Him as Savior, the enmity will be removed. We read in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That means the enmity is gone. Because God has made this pronouncement, the moment we turn and receive Christ, that we are justified. We're acquitted, we're righteous now in God's sight because of the righteousness of Christ. The enmity is gone. God can look upon us with favor now. No more a dark countenance against us. But because sin has been removed, taken away by the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, God is now reconciled to the believing sinner, and the believing sinner reconciled to him if we leave our sin and trust Christ as our Savior. And then once there's peace with God, the Bible says the peace of God keeps our hearts and our minds through the Lord Jesus. Very quickly, I want you to notice the second matter about this entreaty. Not only the matter that this entreaty presents, but the message it contains. There's a message here. Let's notice the wording of this text again. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Is that not a tremendous statement? Is this not an incentive to make the acquaintance of the Almighty, to turn from our sin and trust the Lord Jesus? Is this not a tremendous truth here that if we do, good will come to us? Just another word for the blessing of God. Let's notice how it appears here. Let's notice its form, its appearance. If you go down the remainder of these verses, you'll find with regard to Job several things. Notice verse 23. He says, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. He says, you'll be edified. He says, you've had great losses, Job. You've lost your family. You've lost your health. You have lost your livestock. You'll be built up again. God will restore you. And then in verses 24, 25, he says, you'll be provided for. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. You have nothing now. You've lost it all. But if you acquaint thyself with the Lord and be at peace with him, there'll be the good of his provision. He'll provide for you. Notice verses 26 and 27. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. He says, Job, you'll have access to God. You'll be accepted of him. You'll be able to talk to him and pour out your heart to him and pray. And he'll take care of you. He'll answer your prayers. And my dear hearer, there is such a thing. It's a blessed reality. God hears prayer. God answers prayer. That is a truth that will never be refuted by any atheist or any skeptic. And then he says that God's blessing will rest upon the projects you undertake if they're in his will. Verse 28, then shalt thou decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light shall shine, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. You come to God today and mean business with him. Desire to get to know him. Yield your life to him. Surrender to him. Commit yourself to him. Trust Christ as Savior. Repent of your sin. All of these things will happen. And you'll begin to know the mind of God. You'll know that. He'll reveal his will to you. And as you set about undertakings that God has put in your mind and led you into, God's blessing will rest upon those. This is what this man is saying here to Job. The light shall shine upon thy ways, and the things shall be established unto thee. And then in verse 29 he says, God will use you to be a blessing to others. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. He'll make you a blessing to others. The problems and the troubles that you have come through, God will use that to make you to be of great help to others that are coming behind and experiencing some of the suffering that you may be passing through. The appearance of it, the appearance of this tremendous good, this tremendous blessing. And then very quickly, the assurance of it. Notice verse 23, 25, 26 and 27. And you've come across the word shall. very often. That's the assurance. No doubts about it whatsoever. And if we apply all of this to ourselves, if we will turn from our sin and trust Christ, the Lord Jesus said, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise come. It says in Romans 10 verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Revelation 21 verse 6 he says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. The assurance of it. Oh, my dear friend, this entreaty. Will you listen to it? Will you acquaint yourself with him and be at peace with him? And find this blessing true in your life, that good shall come of thee. But there's one last thing I want you to notice. We have looked at the matter of this entreaty. We have looked at the message of it. I want you to notice carefully the moment of it here. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. There's this thought of now, right now, not tonight, not on some future service, not tomorrow, not next month, not when you're sick, not when you're old and you think there's nothing more in life for you. I'll turn now and I'll try to get some comfort out of Christianity. He's saying, now. Two things about this. Number one, there's the opportunity that this moment presents. Acquaint now thyself. There's no need to wait. The duty can be performed now, here, right now in this room, in this service. I'm so confident about that, because the Bible says we're to do it now. I've known people in this church, and I'm thinking of three men in particular. At different times, two of them sat up in the gallery, and one sat down there underneath the gallery in the middle block. And I heard from two of them later, much later, that they got saved just sitting in a service here. They made the acquaintance of God. They turned from their sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The other one who sat under the gallery, it was one of the times that we had the Lord's Supper at night. He came in to the minister's room after the communion service. I noticed him sitting down in a seat. He never left to go home whenever the people were taking communion. And I said to myself, what's he doing here? He knows that it's only saved people who can take communion, but maybe he just wants to see what's going on. I never thought no more about it. He just entered into the communion service. And after it was over, he came in to see me in the minister's room. He says, you saw me sitting at the communion service tonight. I said, I did. He says, don't be worrying. He says, I know that you can't take communion unless you're saved. He says, but just as you were closing the service tonight, he said, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And those three men, I saw one of them when I was preaching in one of our churches earlier in the year, last year in the harvest time. He used to come here before he moved away. And the other two, I see frequently, and they're all going on with God. They got saved now, when the word of God was being preached in the particular service that they were at. My dear friend, you do that. You make the acquaintance of God now. There's the opportunity that's present. There's the urgency that the moment implies here. Acquaint now thyself. Why the urgency? Because the opportunity may never come back. Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Some of you heard me say this before. There were three men out for a dander one day. Elderly men taking their time, the springtime, well on into the spring, and they were noticing the growth all around. And they came to a particular hedge, and there were sticks. You know the way men like to walk with a stick, maybe twiddle it, the fingers and thumbs. They use it for different reasons. And they saw this stick that was very appealing. And they began to examine it, and they said one to another, when would be the best time to cut that down? Would it be when the sap is just beginning to rise? Would it be later in the spring, early in summer? Or would it be in the end of summer when it has fully matured? What would be the best time? And then they noticed one of their old camellias coming by, an old companion. His name was Johnny. And they said, here's Johnny here. He'll tell us. He's a wise man. And they put the case. One said to cut it at such and such a time, the other, the other, and the other, the other. So he says, gentlemen, he says, I would cut it now because the next time you go by this way, it may not be there. It may be gone. And what a lesson. Now is the accepted time for you to become acquainted with God and trust His Son as your Savior. Now is the time to get to know Him and then spend the rest of your life getting to know Him better. He wants you to. He says, I desired not mercy nor sacrifice, but the knowledge of God more than all burnt offerings is what the Lord said. And you remember whenever Abner came to the elders of Israel, the time that David had been king for so long over part of Israel, when he was based in Hebron, Abner went to those elders and said, ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. And I urge you, my dear hearer, this entreaty that comes from the word of God, to acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come of thee. I say, now then, do it. Trust Christ now. Put down the arms of rebellion. Surrender. Bow at his feet. Call upon him to have mercy upon you. Be reconciled to him. Trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And live the rest of your life increasing in your knowledge of God as he has received, revealed himself in his precious word.